United Nations Radio presents the UN Story.
I have a philosophy which some people think is strange. I don't believe in the end of anything. If I see a piece of paper burning in the fire, I don't believe that is the end of it at all. Why is this? Because I once came to the end of my life, but it didn't end. You see, I'm still here.
Today's UN Story presents Blanche Yerker and George Voskovich in What Follows the End. Many of us remember the wartime newsreels. We recall those shots of the long gray lines of refugees trotting the roads ahead of the storm of war. Some people assume, because we don't see such newsreels anymore, that all the world's refugees have passed on to new homes, new lives. Many of them have. But for thousands of others, their homes are still the camps, the refugee camps in Austria, France, Germany, Palestine, Korea. This is a transcribed report of what the United Nations has been doing to help these people who have not had even the privileges of prisoners of war. 7 years ago, a man and a woman in Austria were rushing toward the climax of their lives. It was a beautiful day. They didn't mind the fact that they had to walk 5 miles. What's 5 miles when you expect news, wonderful news, the chance to start your life all over again?
John, John, you walk so fast. I'm getting out of breath.
Marie, you're an old woman.
Well, maybe, maybe.
There. You look as fresh as a bride, sweetheart. With all that color in your face, you could be back at your own wedding.
Well, that's better. Not so fast. We have time. We have years.
But I want to get there, Marie.
Well, so do I. So we can get back to the camp and tell the children it's all arranged. Paul is convinced we are going to Canada. He has his sister Donna frightened half out of her wits thinking of Indians.
We may not go there at all. It may be South America, maybe someplace else. We don't care. Just so we can go and forget that camp.
John, we were lucky to have the camp.
I'm sick of it, and so is everyone there.
But with 4 children, John, our village destroyed. No chance ever to go back.
Yes, yes, we could have died. Thank God for the camp. But thank God we're getting away from it. As soon as we get our passports, we'll go any place. And I'll work hard, Marie.
I never worry about that.
I know you don't, my dear, but come, Marie. A little faster. I want to get there.
Yes, Mr. Pazocki, it's true. We are arranging passports for some of the refugees.
Exactly what I heard.
If they qualify.
We are all healthy. Don't worry.
Now, I can't say exactly in what country you may be resettled.
It doesn't matter. All I ask is a chance to take care of my family.
He's a very good worker.
Well, now, suppose we fill out the application. Now, the name, John Bizocchi.
And my wife, Marie Bizocchi. The children, first Donna, then Celeste, Hilda, and the boy, Paul.
Well, I'll finish your application first. Now, your age?
45.
And health?
Good.
Let me see. Chest x-ray report. A scar on lungs. I'm sorry, Mr. Bizocchi.
Why should you be sorry? I'm perfectly well. That scar is years old. I haven't had TB since I was 20.
Yes, I know, Mr. Bizocchi, but please let me explain. You see, I said there might be passports if you qualified.
And what is wrong?
Well, there are certain restrictions. There are no sick people, no criminals. The governments of the countries accepting these refugees, they require these things. And one of the...
But we are not criminals. We are well, as you can see.
Yes, Mr. Bizocchi, but the authorities do not pass on anyone with a lung scar. That's one of the restrictions. I'm terribly sorry.
2 years later, and John Bazzocchi was 47. 2 years later, and there had been 2 years more during which he yearned for work. Fight against it as he might, he was beginning to feel old. That judgment haunted his mind, an old scar from a past illness. And then one day, as he was chopping kindling for the camp stoves, he was reminded of how much time had passed when his eldest daughter, Donna, came to talk to him, and he discovered she was no longer just a child.
Father!
What has happened?
Well, nothing's happened, Father. I've been thinking.
What is it?
I'm old enough to go.
Go?
Father, we don't want to hurt you or Mother. But do you think we young people should stay here forever?
Go? Where?
I don't know, Father. Someplace. Maybe I could go to England or America or Brazil.
And leave us? Your mother and me?
I don't want to.
You're only 17. You're a girl.
Others have done it, Father.
What would you do?
I could be a servant. I wouldn't care. And then, you see, I might make money. I might send for Celeste. And then Celeste and I could send for Hilda. And then the three of us could send for Paul.
I see.
You will let us... You will let me go.
I will talk to your mother.
But, John, we don't even know where she would go. We don't even know what she would do. She's just a child.
Keep walking, Murray. You'll freeze.
You didn't say yes to her, John, did you?
And I didn't say no.
John, do you think I had children to send them away? Surely you can't believe they still don't need a father and mother?
Listen to me, Marie. Their father and mother are dead.
Don't say that.
Casualties of war. We are here in our grave. Can you pretend that you and I are alive? That this is living? Am I any more use to my children than I would be if I were dead? What can I do for them?
But maybe soon.
Soon. Soon, more of this, that's all.
Then you have lost hope.
Of course I have. The world doesn't even know we exist. We are numbers on file in some faraway office. The world is thinking of more important problems. They consider this problem solved indefinitely until we die and solve it completely. Can we ask the children to stay and wait for that?
John, I can't help it.
I know.
Here comes Mr. Droshka. Can't we go some other way?
I agree. It's bad enough without sympathy. Come, we'll go this way.
John! John!
He's calling.
Walk faster.
John! John Bazzocchi!
He'll think we're avoiding him.
Well, we are.
We mustn't hurt his feelings. We still have to live in the same room.
Yes. What is it?
Oh, I've been searching for you. Have you heard the latest foolishness?
Heard what?
These fools are torturing themselves again. Now they have a wonderful rumor. They say there is a man coming here to the camp.
Another inspection?
Oh, nothing as reasonable as that. A man from the United Nations.
What does that mean?
Now they are trying to believe the United Nations heard of us and that some kind of a refugee organization is going to give us help. Preposterous.
What kind of help?
Maybe some new patches for our blankets, or perhaps they are going to decorate the cemetery.
Don't talk that way, Mr. Droshka. They may be people who have heard, who have sympathy.
Why should they? I am a realist, my good woman. I think I know how I would feel if I were outside. Would I be concerned? I am not so sure.
Tell us what you have heard. Is there such an organization? What kind of a help do they say it will be?
Oh, very logical. The scheme is to make us self-supporting. We will each exercise our skill, our trade. Can anyone remember when he had a skill or trade? All we have done here is chop wood. Will they send us the forests of Norway to chop, chop, chop? Oh, what foolishness.
Marie, come with me. I want to know about this.
John, do you think it can be true?
If there is still a God, hurry.
Your name, please.
John Bizocchi.
John Bizocchi. Your age?
55.
55. Thank you. State of health?
Good.
Medical history?
Scar on lung. But that was more than 30 years ago. I've been perfectly well all these years. Really, sir, I can do anything.
Now, Mr. Bizocchi, that's all right. I understand what you're worried about. Even if the X-ray report prevented you from emigrating, it certainly doesn't keep you from joining our camp program.
Then what can I do? I'm still strong. I have my wits. I want to work.
Well, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees wants to help each person do what he may have been trained for.
I was a printer.
A printer? That's very good.
Why? There's no press here. I have thought about it. So many things could be printed if there were. The records, the announcements, all sorts of things. I would do it even if I weren't paid.
But why shouldn't you be paid? You'd probably save the camp money.
But where can I get a press? I have no money.
I know. But we have a grant from the Ford Foundation in the United States of America for this purpose.
They will pay for it?
We can't help people to help themselves unless we can give them tools.
You don't know what this could mean. I'd be alive again. Alive!
John, you must not forget. John, can you hear me?
Wait till I stop this machine. What is it, darling?
You must not forget the announcements of the new regulations for people leaving the camp. They want them tomorrow.
It's all set up. They'll be next.
Father?
Yes, Donna?
I finished proofing the pamphlet. Celeste is correcting the mistakes.
Are you glad you didn't leave us, dear, and go far away across the seas?
Oh, Father, you know I'm glad. The printing plant is so successful. I found my darling Hans because of it. The best typesetter in all Austria, and right here in our camp. Oh, I'm so very happy.
And soon we shall have enough money to take a little home outside the camp. And our orders for printing will keep up, all those outside orders that come in now. And what's this, Donna? Something just came in?
Oh, yes, Father. They want us to print their wedding announcements. They gave me the money.
We'll make them beautiful.
Do. It will make them so happy.
And it will be just the practice we need for printing yours, Donnie.
Maybe so.
Really?
Soon, I think.
Marie, you here?
John, you must finish the work on the press. They're waiting.
Can't we stop to be happy?
Do we need to stop for that? I'm happy all the time.
I'm even feeling sorry for other people. I feel so good. All right, good old press, get going. I love you too.
United Nations Radio has brought you Blanche Yerker and George Voskovich in What Follows the End, a UN story that is true. The UN story is transcribed and produced by the international staff of United Nations Radio.